Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming and learning together Hashem's Torah before we get to daven to Hashem. We now begin with what I would call the most famous topic in Masechet Tmura, and that is the question of when Hashem says, don't do something, and the person goes and does it anyway. So what happens? Hashem said, don't do tmura, right? Tmura is to swap, to take a holy carbon and to say, I'm swapping this holy animal for another animal. The other animal will become holy, this animal should become not holy. So Hashem said, don't swap. It's an insult, it's a disgrace. If a person goes ahead and does that, so what happens? Do we say, if Hashem said, don't do it, then it can't work? Hashem said, don't swap, so the swap won't work. Person will be punished when he tries to do it because he did what Hashem said don't do. He tried to do what Hashem said not to do. Or do we say, if he's going to get punished, that means that it does work. Hashem said, don't swap. If he swaps, there will be a swap.
But tomorrow is a special case.
Or maybe tomorrow is a special case, right? Maybe we say generally, if Hashem said not to do something, if somebody goes ahead and does it, it does work. Otherwise, how could he be punished? So this is a general question. Kol milsa d'avid rachmana. All things that Hashem said, lo savid, don't do. E of it. If he then turned around and did it, mahani, does that doing work? Is it effective? Or e of it lo mahani? Or is the doing not effective? Okay, so we dedicate our learning in memory of Meir Chai Nechama Bracha Aleha Shalom. Das David Mordechai, I saw in the art school, they said that Gemara is going to have 14 proofs back and forth in this sugya about e avid mahani, e avid lo mahani. If he does it work? If he does it not work? So again, let's start again on Daladim and Bays, five lines from the very bottom, 4b. Amr Abaye, Abaye said, any matter that Hashem said don't do, im avid, if a person didn't listen and did what Hashem said not to do, mahani, it took effect. Because if you're going to say that whenever Hashem says not to do something, if you try to do it, it doesn't work at all, am I lucky? Why should a person get lashes? His actions were meaningless. No, we're talking about prohibitions. Rav Amar Rava said, no, if Hashem said not to do something, lo mahani midi, then it doesn't work at all if a person tried to do it. So then Abaya asked, if it didn't work, what did he accomplish? Why is he getting lashes? Behind the laki, this that he's getting lashes, it's because he's violating the words of Hashem. Hashem said not to try to do this. He tried to do this. That's why he gets lashes. Yeah,
so
question.
But they pay now or they pay while I'm up for, right? Is that right?
No. He's certainly going to get lashes.
What do they pay now?
He's certainly going to get lashes. The question is, did something happen because Hashem, because he did it? Or do you say, since Hashem said not to do it, it couldn't happen. It couldn't work. It
couldn't take effect.
It can't take effect, right? Let's talk about tzmura. That's the example here, right? Hashem said, "Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiraso." He shall not swap it. He shall not try to exchange it. So, if a guy gets up and he tries to exchange, he says, "I'm exchanging this for that." Is the very words the issue, and now he's going to be punished because he said these words? Or maybe no. Words alone, you can't punish for. It has to be that it actually did take effect. And that's why he's getting punished, because it took effect.
So this is only for animals, Rabbi?
Well, tmura is only animals. We're going to see this affects the question of a kohen marrying a divorced woman or lots of other scenarios in halacha. When Hashem said, don't do certain things shouldn't happen. If someone went ahead and did those things or tried to make those things happen, what happens? Does he just get punished because he tried? Or we say, if he's going to be punished, which we know he is because he's violating prohibitions, these things took effect, and that's why he's getting punished.
Is divorce a part of this?
We'll get into all those questions. Questions of divorce. Not all divorces, but some divorces. That's the first case. So the Gemara now says, again, we had an argument. According to Abaye, whatever Hashem said don't do, if a guy goes ahead and does it, it does take effect. According to Rava, it doesn't take effect. Mesve, we will challenge you. Now starting today's daf, hey Amud Aleph. All right, we learned this Bryce yesterday as well. Yeah. Ones, a man who forces himself, unfortunately, onto a young lady. The Torah says he has to pay a fine to the father of the young lady, and he needs to marry the young lady as long as she's agreeable. She doesn't need to agree to it, then he won't. But if she agrees to the marriage, he needs to marry her, and then he's never allowed to leave her. He has to be married to her for the rest of his life. What happens if he's violating what the Torah says? Shagirish. He divorces her. Im Yisrael, who says the Brisa? If he's a Yisrael, he's allowed to remarry. Mazir. He has to remarry. Well, no, he has to remarry because the Torah says he should remarry.
Yeah, but he divorced her, took effect.
Yes, the divorce took effect, but then he remarries, correct? Veino loke, and he doesn't get any lashes for having violated the Torah's mandate of you're not allowed to divorce her. Lo yuchal l'shalcha. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rava is right, that when does a person get lashes just for violating Hashem's words? Kevan davar amemre d'rachman alaki. A person gets lashes even though it's ineffective just because he's violating the words of Hashem. So then Hanami Lilki, this guy, this Yisrael who remarries, should also be getting lashes because when he divorced, he was going against the words of Hashem. Now, even though this is a divorce that right away he remarries, so it's not really much of a divorce, but going against the words of Hashem it is. So it's Yufta de Rava, it should be against Rava. Rava says you get lashes just for going against the words of Hashem, even though it's ineffective. Here also, it's basically ineffective because he divorced her, but then he has to remarry her right away, and he does remarry her right away, so you can say that the divorce wasn't really effective, although it was effective, it took effect, but it wasn't so effective. But if you say that the lashes is for the violating of the words, it was a violating of Hashem's words, there should be lashes here. So, why is it that only a Kohen gets lashes, but not a Yisrael? Rav will tell you, a man who forces himself on a woman, and then he divorces her, and then he's told he has to remarry her. Shani Yasin, there it's different, that he doesn't get lashes when he remarries, if he remarries her, because he's supposed to remarry her, Damar Kar, because the Pasuk says, Lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. He's not able to send her away for all of his days. In other words, kol yamav b'amud b'hachzir. As long as he's alive, he has an obligation to remarry her, not to leave her sent away. So in other words, the Torah is not saying he's not allowed to divorce her. The Torah is saying he's not allowed to divorce her for good. He's not allowed to divorce her for all of his days. So here, he didn't divorce her for all his days because he remarried her. So that's why he's not getting lashes. But basically, the definition of what invokes lashes is the attempt to go against God's will. The action against what God said, even if that action is ineffectual, the action against what God says gets lashes. Here we were saying this is an ineffectual action because he divorces and he remarries right away. So the divorce is ineffectual. It should get lashes. The answer is no. This is not the prohibition that would get lashes. The prohibition that would get lashes is divorcing forever. Since he didn't divorce forever, this is not the prohibition that gets lashes.
So what happens if he's already married? So he's going to have multiple wives?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the Torah allows for multiple wives. It's only, Baruch, it's only very recent that we don't allow for two wives. Like Yaakov Avinu had Rachel and Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah had four wives. But this has been for about 1,000 years, starting in the Ashkenazim with Rabbeinu Gershom Me'or HaGola, And once the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim started to mix in the land of Israel, the Sfardim have also accepted it, but it started with just...
So she would have been divorced, and then but he has to remarry her. So if then he dies afterwards, she's a Rusha, she cannot marry a Kohen.
That's for sure.
So what will happen to these rules in today's world? Now, the guy is already married.
Yeah.
And he's forcing himself on another thing. So he cannot marry the girl again.
Right.
So what will happen here with the case?
I think we would just make him pay money.
And lashes too on the top of it?
We don't give lashes really.
How about a deep breathing milah to
run? You could do that. As if the court felt that's what was necessary, they could do that.
Okay.
Ula Abaye. Now, according to Abaye, who holds that if actions are ineffectual, you wouldn't get lashes. And that's why he says, wherever the Torah says, don't do something if you do it, it does take effect. So now why does he need these words, Kol Yamav? Even without the words Kol Yamav, he would say that if a man had forced himself on a woman, married her, and then divorced her, since he has to remarry her right away, the divorce is not really much of a divorce, so of course there'd be no lashes. Why does he need the word Kol Yamav to teach me that there's no lashes? So he'll tell you, if not for the fact that Hashem said Kol Yamav, he's not allowed to divorce her for all his days. Hav, I mean, I would have thought to say, Yisura hu da'avadle, that if he divorced her, he violates the law of Lo Yuchal Lashalcha. And I would have thought that he doesn't have to remarry her, but rather, if he would like to, he could remarry her. And if he would like to, he doesn't have to remarry her. And then I would say that this divorce was an effective divorce, because he doesn't have to remarry her if he would want to. That's why I needed the Torah to say, Kol Yamav, Le'yuchla Shachla Kol Yamav. But no, that this divorce is really not much of a divorce. He needs to remarry her right away. And since he needs to remarry her right away, it's not much of a divorce. And okay, so once it's not much of a divorce, that's already the reason why there's no lashes, because it wasn't an action that was effective. It's only an action that's effective that can create lashes, according to Abaye. Rava thinks that what creates lashes is just going against the words of Hashem, even if it's not so effective. Presumably.
It's in this case just because Hashem said this Schar Mitzvah, it's not working.
Yeah.
Because Hashem said it.
Yes. Right, Lishna Achrina, a different version of this whole discussion. Again, Abaye holds, Chol Mil Sadam Rachman Alo Savit. If Hashem said not to do something, Yavit, if you do it, it does work. And Rava holds, Yavit Lomani, if you do it, it doesn't work. Nesve will challenge Abaye. We learned again this brisa. Ones, a man who forces himself on a woman, Shagirish, who then divorces the woman he forced himself on after he married her. Im Yisrael, who, if he's a Yisrael, who's allowed to remarry a divorced woman, Mazir, he has to remarry. Veino Loki doesn't get lashes. Im Koinu, but if he's a Kohen, who's not allowed to remarry Loki. So that's it. Now he's going to get lashes for the lav of Lo Yuchal Lashalcha. Veino Mazir, he's not allowed to remarry. Katani, what does it say here? Im Yisrael, who, Mazir, if he's a Yisrael, he remarries. And we say he has to remarry. To you to the Abaye, that seems to be against Abaye. Abaye holds that if a person goes against the will of Hashem, right? Kol Mosadam Rachmam and Alo Savit. If Hashem said don't do something, if he then does it, it works. So here Hashem said don't divorce, and the guy divorced, so it should work. She should be divorced. Why does he have to remarry?
Could she initiate
the
divorce?
Yeah.
Yes, and then it's okay.
The Gemara says, no, shiny awesome over there in regards to this case. If a man who forces himself on a woman is different. The Rachman Amar, since Hashem said, Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav, he can't send her away all of his days. That's to tell you that Kol Yama, for all of his days, Babo Vahachzir, he has a mitzvah to remarry her. So now, what's Rebbe going to do with the words Kol Yama? Why does he need Kol Yama, that there's a mitzvah to remarry her for all of his days? Since Rebbe holds, whenever Hashem says not to do something, it doesn't work if you try to do it. Hashem said, Lo yuchal l'shalcha, he shouldn't divorce her. So that means a divorce shouldn't work. So if he tries to divorce her, he should have to remarry right away, so the divorce not work. Rav Amalacha, Rav will tell you, Lo kaza rachman al kol yamav, if Hashem wouldn't have said that the divorce, that all his days he can't divorce her. It would have thought to say, Lilki, he should get lashes for divorcing. Vili had her, and he should remarry her. To have the Leilav Greda. Because the prohibition of he's not allowed to send her away is just a lav. I would have thought the Loti Elisha is not a lav anitzak la'asei. It's not an asei linking to the lav. It would just say, well, Yuchel Shalcha is not allowed to divorce her. Hashem says, he can't send her away all of his days. To say that right away, he's supposed to remarry her. L'shavye, in order to turn ones, the situation of a man who forced himself on a woman, lo tase shenita klase, that it's a lo tase, he's not allowed a divorce, but if he divorces, there's an ase to fix it right away, of kol yamav, he should remarry her, and therefore, aim lokin alav, therefore you don't get lashes for it. All right, so that moves on from the issue of divorce, in the case of Mimanes. Now we move on to the second case for this discussion of Yavin Mahani, Yavin Lo Mahani, and that is Truma. Ask the Gemara, V'harei Toreim and Ara Ala Yafin. Let's say a person has apples. He has an apple orchard. So he's supposed to pick all of his apples, put them in a big bin, and then take some of the apples and say, this is Truma. Then he takes another chunk of apples, says, this is Maaser Rishon. Another chunk of apples, say, this is Maaser Sheni. 10%. Right, 10%. This is Maaser Sheni. I'm going to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. We have a rule in regards to Truma. Ein tarmin min ara layafa. You can't say, I'm going to take the rotted apples, the ones with all the worms, that's the Truma. And all the good apples, that's for me. No. You can't take Truma from the bad for the good. You have to take from good on good. You can't give bad to work to permit the good. Right? So that's the law. Hare atormin ara layafa. Person who takes bad produce and says that's going to be the truma on behalf of the good produce. Yerachman Amar Hashem said, from all your gifts you shall give up the truma of Hashem, mikol chelbo, from all of its finest stuff, right? Like the fat, from all of its fat, from all of its good stuff. So chelbo in, right? You're only allowed to give us truma the good stuff. Giruin, the bad stuff, lo, you can't give as truma. All right, that's the law. Right? The Hashem said, don't give the bad stuff for the good stuff. But one second, Utsnan, we have a Mishnah. Ein tarm min ara la yafe. You're not supposed to give bad apples as truma on behalf of good apples. But im taram, if you gave from bad for the good, truma so truma. It is truma. So what do you see? Again, Hashem said not to do something. Don't give the bad for the good. And then the Mishnah says if you did it, it worked. It's Truma. So one of these people is right. Rava is wrong. Alma Mahani. You see that when Hashem says don't do something, if you then go do it, it does take effect. So you have to do Rava. It's against Rava. Rava says when Hashem says not to do something, if you did it, it doesn't work. But you get lashes because you went against Hashem's words. But here, it's not that way. Here Hashem said, don't give the bad apples for the good apples. And the Mishnah says explicitly, and if you gave the bad for the good, it did work. Amal Charava, Rava will tell you, Shani Hasam Truma is different. Why? Rabbi Lai, based on a special pasuk of Rabbi Lai, how do we know that if you take bad apples and make them Truma on behalf of good apples, How do you know they make tshuma from the bad to the good? Shetshuma, so tshuma, that it does take effect. Shenema, because the pasuk says, the lo sisu el of chait, and you shall not bear upon it a sin. Ba'arimchem eschel bo mimenu, when you lift up the best part of it from it. So it's saying that don't give the bad for the good, so that you don't carry a sin. But implying if you will give the bad for the good, you will carry a sin. In other words, it'll work. You'll be bearing a sin. Something will take effect. Apparently, imeinu kadosh, if when you would give the bad for the good, it's not holy at all. Nesius chet lama, how would you be bearing a sin? Bearing means you're carrying some effect, some impact. That's the language. Somebody card from here, you see the term in Arela Yafeh, that if somebody takes bad stuff and says this is the tshuma for the good stuff, shat tshuma, so tshuma, that the tshuma is tshuma. So it's a special pasuk. That's the answer. Basically, Rava holds generally when Hashem says not to do something, if you go against what Hashem said and you try to do it, it doesn't happen. But here there's a pasuk that says that it does happen, because it says that you bear sin. Yeah. Bearing sin means that there was an impact, something happened.
Right. So Rava's is halacha in his opinion.
We'll see. We're going to go back and forth.
So
here,
all these cases all have special pasuks?
So far. Right?
So far.
So far, that's what we've seen. What's Abaye going to do now with this special pasuk? Abaye doesn't need it, because according to Abaye, whatever Hashem says don't do, if you do it, works. So Hashem said don't give the bad stuff for the good stuff for tshuma. Okay, but if you would, it would work. Why don't you have a pasuk? Don't carry a sin. Ulabai, why does he need the pasuk of lo sisu el of chet? He'll say it like this. If Hashem wouldn't have said, and don't bear upon it a sin, have a minute of what to say. Here Hashem is saying, the best thing to do is to give good for the good. Don't give the bad for the good. Elo of it, and if you didn't give the good for the good, you gave the bad for the good, chote lo mikri, then maybe you're not even considered a sinner. Maybe you're not even a sinner. Maybe it's just l'chatchila. Maybe it's just in the first instance you should give the good for the good. That's what you have to say. Velo sisu lo chet, don't carry upon it a sin. Kamash malan, it's teaching you you're really a sinner if you give the bad for the good. All right. So that completes one proof about tshuma. Now we have a second proof from tshuma. V'harei, we have another law in tshuma. Mimin al she'eino mino. We have a law. Let's say a farmer has grapes and olives. So he makes olive oil and he makes wine. He can't take a barrel of his wine and say this is the tshuma on behalf of the olive oil. You can't take from one type for a different type. Because Hashem says, "Kol chaylev yitzar," all the fat of the olives, the kol chaylev tirosh, and all the fat of the wine, the dagan, and the fat of the grain. Reishi sam, the first of them, ashayitnu l'Hashem, they should be giving to Hashem. So we learn from that phrase. You have to give the best of the grain and the best of the wine and the best of the olive oil. Each has to be given from its own type. And yet, but we have a Mishnah. You can't take from wine and say that that's going to be the tshuma for the oil, for one type, for another type. If you tried, nothing took effect. So who's that a proof to? That's a proof to Rava. Alma, so you see, if Hashem said not to do something, if you do it, lo mahani, it doesn't work. To yufta da abaye, there should be a proof against abaye, only that Rava's right. So again, we're going to have to say, there's a special pasuk. Amulcha abaye will tell you, shani yasa. There, in regards to that law, that you can't take tshuma from one type for a different type. Amar cross, since the pasuk says, reishi sam, it should be the first of theirs. It's to say, Rashis Lazav, Rashis Lazav. It's to be the first of this one and the first of this one. And if it's the first of this one on behalf of that one, that doesn't work. Vechenam Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi also said there's a special pasuk, Rashis Sam, they're first. Now, Rava, what does he need the pasuk for? He anyway holds that whatever Hashem said don't do doesn't take effect. So why does he need a pasuk to say that it has to be from its type? And it wouldn't take effect otherwise. Well, the Rava will tell you. Some of Hashem wouldn't have said Reishi Sam there first. Have a minute of thought to say Tirosh V'yitzu D'chsiv Bu Chelev. when it comes to wine and oil, because it says about the fat of it, the best of it, chelav yitzar and chelav tirosh. Who they in turn mizel zet? That's what you can't take from oil for wine or for wine to oil. Avol tirosh v'dagan. But when you're talking about wine for grain or dagan and dagan, let's say wheat and barley, one grain and another grain, the chad chelav ksibuhu. The Torah doesn't keep repeating the word chelav there. There was only one chelav for those two things. Tarmei, then I would think you could give from wine for grain, or for grain for wine, or for grain to another grain. Chasav Rachman, that's Hashem to say reishi sum there first. It has to be their type. It can't be from one type to another type. Okay, so that completes the discussions from Truma. So we learned about Ones. We learned about Truma. Now we go to Cherme Kohanim. We're learning about this in Erechin, a man who made a vow, a cherem vow, to give something to a kohen. So what about there? V'arei charamin, in regards to the cherem vows, Tam Rachman Hashem said, ach kol cherem asher yachem ishla Hashem, any cherem that a man makes for God, and was to give to the kohanim, lo yimachem v'lo yigoyel. You can't sell it to somebody else, you can't redeem it, it has to be given to the kohanim. It shall not be sold, it shall not be redeemed. Utana, the Mishnah says, Cherme Kohanim, a man who said, I'm making this field Cherem to the Kohen. Aim then Pidyo, he can't now buy it back. Elinosim Lakohen, he has to give it to the Kohen. And Hashem said, Lo Yimachar Lo Yigoel, it can't be sold, it can't be redeemed. So if he tries to do it, it doesn't work. So what do you see? When Hashem says not to do something, if you try to do it, it doesn't work. Lo Mahani, like Rava. So you have to do Abaye. This should be a proof that Abaye is wrong. Abaye says when Hashem says you can't do something, if you went ahead and did it, it does work. Amulcha Abaye. Abaye will tell you again, there's a special pasuk. Shani Yasam. There it's different. Tam Rachmana, the pasuk there said, Lo yimachir v'lo yigoel, the cherem kohen, the cherem to the kohen can't be sold or redeemed. Kodesh kodashim hu. It is holiest of holies. The extra word, hu, b'avo yasa yehe. It stays holy. You can't redeem it.
So why can't we get the kriya ben, you get it back, you redeem it?
Because that's what Hashem to do. Hashem said do that.
But he says, here now, he says, don't, you cannot do that.
For cherem kohanim. If a person makes a cherem vow, then he can't redeem. Okay. But other things he could redeem.
So Rabbi, if you have a field, and you have two produce on that field, it's one field, but two.
Yes.
So each one of these produces, you have to give the 10%,
Separate.
Each one.
Separate.
You cannot combine them and give just 1%,
10%. That's right. So now, starting Hayamid Beis. Ula Rava, now according to Rava, who says whenever Hashem said not to do something, if you try to do it, it doesn't work. So why does Hashem have to repeat the word who? In regards to Cherem Kohanim, once Hashem says, Lo Yimachar V'lo Yigoel, you're not going to be able to buy back the Cherem Kohanim. You have to give it to the Kohen. Why did Hashem have to also say, Kodesh Kadashim, who it always stays holy, Bava Yasu Yeh, it stays in its Kodesh Kadashim state. So the Rav Ahai, who, what's he going to do with the word who? So he'll tell you, that's to tell you something else. Lim'ute Bechor. So to say, Cherem Kohanim, you can't buy back. Who? That's the one you can't buy back. But Bechor is different. The Tanya's learned in a Braisa, but Bechor Namrat says about a Bechor, let's say you have the firstborn ox, Lo Sifdeh Kodeshein. You can't redeem them, they're holy, they have to be brought as a carbon. And if it gets a blemish, and it's given to the coin as a gift. The Torah is only saying you can't redeem it. However, Nimkar Hu, well, if it gets a blemish, then you can sell it. So when do we have a law of no selling? That's in Cherem Kohanim. Cherem Kodesh Kadashim Hu. This is the one which is Kodesh Kadashim, you can't sell. But a Bechor, if it has a mum, you're allowed to sell. And in regards to Maaser Behema Namar, in regards to Maaser Behema, it says, Lo Yigael, you can't redeem it. So Eino Nimkar, Lo Chai, Velo Shachav, Velo Tam, Velo Baal Mum. That's to say that a Maaser Behema, you can't sell. Whether it's alive or dead, whether it's whole, or even if it is blemished. Because in Maisa, there's a special pasuk that says, Lo Yigael. So we learn Lo Yigael in Maisa to Lo Yigael in Haramim. So just like in Haramim, there's no way of transferring it. It was a cherem to the Kohanim, it has to be given to the Kohanim. So too, in Meiser, Lo Yigael means you also can't sell it. But in Bechor, is just a prohibition of Pidyon, but you could sell. So that's why we have to have the word who. To say there are certain laws that only apply to Charamim. Charamim have a law of Lo Yimacher, they can't be sold. They don't apply to Bechor. All right, so now we go to a new topic, which is our sugya, our Gemara. Vare Tzmura, but what about this prohibition of swapping a carbon for another animal, trying to remove the sanctity off animal number one and put it onto animal number two instead? Tamar Achman Hashem says, Lo Yachli Fen, you're not allowed to swap the secular animal, bring it into the holy and take the holy out, the Lo Yamiro, so you can't exchange it. The time when we did our Mishnah, when we said that kol ma'amir, and everybody can do tzmura, lo shadam rash shalam, you're not that a person's allowed to do tzmura, el shayim emir mumar, if he did say that he's exchanging, it was exchanged, in the sense that both are holy, v'sovik asar b'am, he gets lashes, almost you see, Hashem said, lo yach lifanev lo yamir, so don't exchange it, and it does work, if you do it. So you have to do Rava, that should be against Rava, who says when Hashem says not to do something, if you try to do it, it doesn't work. Amalcharav, what will tell you? Shiny awesome tmura this different. There's a special pasuk. Tamarka, the pasuk says, Vahayahu, tmura so, yekodesh. It and its tmura will be holy. So now, according to Abai, who says, whenever you're not going to do something, if you do it, it's going to happen. Why do I need this pasuk? Vahayahu, tmura so, ula bai. What does he need the pasuk for? So he'll tell you, he laughed, Amarachman, Vahayahu, tmura so, yekodesh, if not for the pasuk. And it and its exchange will be holy. Have I made a foot to say that if you try to exchange, you know, Dali for Mali. So then, Teitze, Dali would become unholy, Vitikanes, and Mali would become holy. Let's say, if Hashem said not to exchange, if you do it, the exchange happens. So one becomes unholy, the other one would become holy. So that's, I need a pasuk to say, no, they both become holy. Kamashwan, that's the pasuk, they both stay holy. The second one became holy, and the first one stays holy. Alright, next proof to this question between Abaye and Rava. What about Bechor? Vare Bechor, in regards to Bechor, Dam Rachman Hashem said, Lo Sifteh, you cannot redeem it, don't redeem it, it's not, we're going to learn a Mishnah. If you have a carbon and then gets a blemish, Yesh Len Pidyon, you're allowed to redeem them. And Litzmuro Seyem Pidyon, if this carbon was made and there was Tzmuro was done on it, its Tzmuro also can be redeemed if it has a blemish. Chutz min ha-Bechor min ha-Maiser, except for Bechor and Maiser Behema, that even if they have a blemish, you cannot redeem them. Now, Alma, what do you see? Hashem said, Lo Tifteh, you can't redeem, and you can't actually redeem. Lo Mahani, Hashem said you can't do it, then it can't happen. So to Yofta Dabai, it's against the Abai, who says when Hashem says something can't happen, if you then do it, it will happen. Amalcha Abaye will to answer you. Shani Yasam. Again, there's a special pasuk. Amar Ka, the pasuk says, Lo Sifteh, don't redeem. Kodesh Haim. They are holy, they stay holy. Means that they can't be redeemed. So now, Rav, what's he going to do with Haim? Ula Rav, Rav says, any time that Hashem said not to do something, if you do it, it doesn't work. So, hi Haim. Lamali, what's he going to do with the extra word Haim? So he'll tell you. Haim is to say the following. Haim craven. The Bechor can be brought as a carbon. The Ein Tmurasan craven. But if somebody tries to swap the Bechor for something else, so that other thing also becomes holy, and that other thing could not be brought as a carbon. Ula Abaye. Now Abaye, Hai Svar Minali. How does he know that the Tmura of a Bechor doesn't get brought as a carbon actually? So he'll tell you that's from a different pasuk. The first pasuk says, "Im shor im se la Hashem hu." If it's an ox or a sheep, it is for God. That's to say, who it is for God? Who carved? It's the one that's brought, but ain't mura or doesn't get brought. And what about Rava? Rava will tell you, "Ein achanami." To be a hukra from that pasuk, im shor im se la Hashem hu. That's already enough. So, Elohim, Lamli, what does he learn from Kodesh Haim, from the word Haim? Limit al Bechoru Meiser, Shenes Arev Daman, Bekol Ha'olin. It's to tell you that if the blood of Bechor, the blood of Maaser Behema, gets mixed with the blood of another Karban, Shekrevin Legabi Mizbeach, that you can throw this mixed blood onto the Mizbeach, and that would permit the Bechor and the Maaser, because of the word Haim. They are the way they are, they stay the way they are, even if they are in a mixture. Abaye, one second. Abaye, hi, Svar Minali. How does he know this idea that if you mix the blood of Bechor with the blood of another carbon and then you throw it on the Mizbeach, it'll work for the Bechor? He'll tell you that he learned some of the Pasuk about Yom Kippur. The Pasuk says, V'lakach midam apar umidam asair. He's to take from the blood of the bull together with the blood of the goat. That sounds like you put the two together. There's obviously more blood of a bull than there is of a goat, but apparently we don't say that the blood of the goat is batel. We say rather that it stays with its own identity. And therefore, mikan, from here we derive lo'olam mizbeach, to whatever goes on the mizbeach, she'im mevatnan zed, that one blood won't annul another blood. And therefore, the same is true with bechor and maaser. I don't need a pasuk in bechor and maaser to say that the bechor blood will maintain its identity in a mixture. I already have it from the goat and bull of Yom Kippur. The Tanya is learned in a brisa, v'lakach midam apar midam asair, she'im urav, and they should be mixed together, divrei Rav Yoshia, according to Rav Yoshia. Now, according to Rava, who said that I needed the pasuk of Haim for this, to teach me that the mixture doesn't annul one of the other, Rav will tell you, Hasa mizebif ne'atma, zebif ne'atma, salak Rav Yonasan. He holds like Rav Yonasan that the bloods of Yom Kippur are not mixed together, they're grown separately. But that when you mix bloods together, they won't lose their identity. I need a special pasuk, and that's the pasuk of Kodesh Haim.
But the rule will change for Bechor if the Bechor is blemished.
Yes. The only rule that changes is that you can redeem it. You can sell it. You can sell a Bechor that's blemished.
You give it to a Kohen, no Rabbi? And Kohen would sell it to
that's Gentile. Correct. Yeah, Kohen can sell it to anybody.
Gentile mainly.
No, anyone.
Blemish.
Anyone. So blemish is still kosher as long as it's not a trefa. Depends on what type of a blemish. He has a cataract or something. It's not a trefa.
It has a hole in the lung.
Then it would be a trefa.
Yeah, trefa.
All right, we're discussing this very, very big topic, the topic of when Hashem says don't do something, and then a guy goes ahead and does it mean that it took effect and that's why he's going to be punished? Or no, it didn't take effect because Hashem said that he shouldn't do it, and he gets punished just because he tried to go against the words of Hashem. And then we have all these scenarios where clearly it does take effect, or clearly it doesn't take effect, and in each case we're going to say, well, there's a special pasuk. All right, so what about the following? Vare Meiser, what about Meiser Behema? A person has animals born to him that year, he has to give every tenth animal, make it a carbon, Meiser Behema. Damar Rachman, Hashem says about the Meiser Behema, lo yigael, it cannot be redeemed or sold. Utnan, we have a rule. Generally, carbonos, yeshlan pidyon, you can redeem a carbon once it gets a blemish. Ulitz murosim, and the what's exchanged for the carbon also can be redeemed. Except for Bechor and Maaser. Alma, so you see, when Hashem said, Lo Yigael, it can't be redeemed. It can't be redeemed. Lo Mahani. And if you try to do it, it doesn't work. So you have to do Abaye. That's against Abaye. Amlacha, again, Abaye is going to tell you there's a special pasuk. Shani Yasam, there it's different. Diyalif, Avar Avar mi Bechor. It says in regards to Maaser Behema, Kol Asher Yavar Tachas HaShavet. It says in regards to Bechor, Va'avar to kol peter rechem. So it's a gzeira shava, avar, avar. And since it says in regards to Bechor, the word hain, it stays the way it is. Maaser also stays the way it is. Says the Gemara. All right, what about the next situation? Vare amaktim chum l'bikurim. Somebody who has produce, and instead of taking the first produce and making it bikurim, the first produce he made truma, and he makes bikurim. Dam Rachmana, that's a prohibition. Hashem said not to do it. Don't be late with your basket and with your truma. Utznan, we learned in a Mishnah, hamaktim, if a person makes truma first before bikurim, afavishu below sase, even though it was a prohibition, masha sase, what he did took effect. I, according to Rava, if Hashem said not to do it, it shouldn't take effect. Amlacha Rava, Rava will tell you, there also is a special pasuk. Shani Yasam, there it's different. Amarka, there for the pasuk says, Mikol matno seichem, from all your gifts, tarimu, give truma. So saying Mikol from all, even in this situation, it also works. Now what's Abaye going to do with the words Mikol? Ula Abaye, Miboyle, he'll need it. Kita Amalei Rav Papa, La Abaye. As Rav Papa said to Abaye, which was that Rav Papa had said to Abaye, Elameat, if this is the case, afilu ikdimu bikri, if a person were to give maser before he gave truma in the big pile, nami nifter, we should also say that he's now exempt from giving truma at all. Amarle Abaye said, no, that's what the pasuk says, mikol mat noseichem tarimu, from all your gifts you should give. And therefore, if somebody separated maser rishon first, he still it's from a gift, so he still needs to give truma from the maser rishon. So the Gemara asks, umaro isa l'rabos es. Why do we say that you have to give truma from the maaser that you gave on the pile, esakri lahotzi esashibalim? But to say that if you gave maaser from that which is still in the stalk, you don't need to give truma. The answer is marbani esakri. I say that if it's in the pile and you gave maaser, you still need to give truma. Sheyeshna b'chal digun, because once it's in a pile, it's already called dagan. It's obligated in all the trumas and maasros. But if you took maaser from that which is stalks, so it wasn't yet obligated in anything because it's not yet dagan, and therefore there you don't have to then give truma from it. All right, another case: almana l'kohen gadol, a widow to a kohen gadol. Drachman, Hashem said almana grusha v'chalal azona say lo yikach. Hashem says a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. Utnan, nevertheless, we have a Mishnah. Kol makom sheyesh kiddushin. Any type of prohibition that if a person would try to violate it and still marry the woman, if kiddushin would be tofes, the yesh aver, if there's an aver in it, havlad olech achar apagum, the child is going to be impacted by whatever sin there is here. So, one second, according to Rava, there should be no kiddushin. Answers, it's a special pasuk again. Shani Yacha, here it's different. Amarka, the pasuk says, Almano grushava chalala zona, seyla lo yikach, v'lo yichalel zaro, and he shouldn't desecrate his seed. Apparently, if he does it, he does desecrate his seed. Ula Abaye, what's he going to do with that pasuk? So he'll tell you, name Makra, the pasuk should have said, lo yachel. My lo yichalel. Why does it say lo yichalel? That's to say echad lo. One is that the child gets messed up. The child of a widow with the coin gadol can't be a coin anymore. And the other lam, it is echad lo, that the widow herself gets messed up and she becomes prohibited from ever marrying another kohen. Okay, we'll continue with these proofs tomorrow.
So a kohen also can't marry a widow that was married.